But here is former MLB closer, MLB Network radio host Brad Lidge back on Overdrive ahead of Game 3 tonight. How you feeling, Brad?
I'm feeling good. How about you guys? I mean, this is shaping up to be, after Game 1, a lot better World Series now that we've got Game 2 under our belt, and this Game 3 should be exceptional.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it tonight. And we talked about this yesterday, where the Rays' reputation, it's all about pitching, defense. And I thought Snell pitched pretty well, but it was like a modern-day quality start, where he went 4 2/3, I believe. He walked 4 guys. I didn't think Blake Snell was the reason Tampa won Game 2. I thought it was that the bats came alive. They generated offense. They put runs on the board. They had 10 hits. I don't know if the bats got enough love based on Tampa's reputation coming out of Game 2.
Well, I would agree with that. I would also say that, you know, this modern-day quality start, that's not Blake Snell's fault, because that dude should have stayed in the game longer. He should have easily completed 6 innings. I can't stand to see these guys getting yanked as early as they are. You know, Charlie Morton, he's been yanked after 66 pitches, after, you know, 5 or 6 dominant innings. So I can't stand to watch what's happening to starting pitching. I mean, we have to completely revise what is a good quality start, what's a good start, you know, at this point, because, you know, even a couple of years ago, Snell was throwing 5 or 6 or 7 innings. You know, don't forget, this is a Cy Young quality pitcher who had great stuff. So you're right. I mean, he got some love, but he should have stayed in the game a lot longer, and he could have got a lot more love. I think the Rays at the end of the day, though, they had to have an offensive output in Game 2. They were struggling badly, and Brandon Lau certainly was, you know, the guy that you could point the finger to easiest, because the numbers were just, they were real bad for him. But he came alive, and I think the recipe was perfect for the Rays in Game 2. You know, take nothing away from Gonsolin or Dustin May or whoever, but, you know, the Rays needed to see a right-handed pitcher so that they could get the most out of Lau, so they could get G-Man Choi in there, so they could get Austin Meadows in there. I mean, the Rays are clearly a better team when they're facing a right-handed pitcher. They're pretty lefty-dominant in terms of the good players offensively, and then you sprinkle in some Rosarena, who's kind of righty or lefty, hasn't really mattered a ton. So the Rays, you know, they're facing another right-hander tonight, but it's not going to be an easy task, because Walker Buehler is throwing absolute cheese balls right now, and he looks really, really comfortable out there on the bump.
Brad, when you talk about pitchers, the starters specifically, they understand it's not their call. They have to do what their manager tells them. But, like, do the players ever just like, no, I don't want to go out after 66 pitches. I don't want to go out. Like, at some point they say, I can still do this, or is it just by the numbers now and players have come to accept it and there's not even worth fighting that fight anymore?
Well, players have come to accept it, just like guys in the Tampa Bay Rays bullpen. And just have to accept that they might, you know, they might be the closer. It might be Castilla, and he might be throwing, Diego Castilla might be throwing in the 4th or 5th inning. Like, he just has to accept that. And I think players by and large do. Now, that being said, Blake Snell was not super thrilled after his last start he had against the Astros, and he was kind of voiced his displeasure coming out of the game early. And I thought he got yanked way too early on this game too. Considering that Kevin Cash let Glasnow throw 112 pitches, it does surprise me that he just doesn't seem to be careful, feeling comfortable with Blake Snell throwing, you know, to the hitters a third time through. He really just doesn't want to see that for Snell. So it's a kind of a weird thing, but I think certain guys are earmarked as, you know what, he's not going to be successful the third time through. Don't even let him have a chance. And I think that's silly, because I think you need to look at the game. You know, you look at what Dusty Baker did leaving in Zach Greinke with the Houston Astros, because he wasn't beholden to any kind of scientific formula of how many pitches a guy can throw. He was using his eyeball and saying, Greinke's got good stuff. I'm going to trust him. He's going to stay in there. And he got out of the inning. And I loved watching that, quite frankly. But, you know, with Kevin Cash and Dave Roberts, you're going to see guys, managers, that are more stuck to this, you know, pitch limit theory, that they just can't see guys a third time through the order.
Well, you mentioned the attachment or how the game is so married to the stats, and baseball is more than any other sport. The other sports are catching up, but baseball was leading the charge, and they continue to lead the race when it comes to sabermetrics and analytics. And Kevin Kiermaier kind of popped off on those earlier today, because Kiermaier was not a finalist for the Gold Glove in center field, and he has basically been the man there for a number of years, like, pretty much unanimously accepted as the best defensive center fielder probably the last decade in baseball. And he just said, I don't know what the numbers are. I don't care what they are. They're wrong. I should be up for the Gold Glove. And I can't really argue against that. I mean, if we're I would think defense of any position in baseball, yes, there are analytics behind it. Yes, there are some metrics. But a lot of that truly is the eye test and the flash and what a guy, just the way the guy performs, the ego he plays with. I think all this should factor in terms of determining how we feel about a defensive player.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, so many things have changed with the analytics. I mean, this year for the Gold Glove, finalists, I mean, you look at some of those guys and, no offense to Charlie Blackman. I love the guy. I'm out here in Colorado and he's an awesome guy, but I think he'd be the first to tell you he was surprised to be on that list. He didn't play a great right field this year. It was almost entirely based on some kind of analytic metric system this year that they used to just make sure guys were not committing errors. But you're right. I mean, you look at how much ground a guy is covering, the jumps he's getting on the ball. There are so many different things, and the eyeball test is a huge deal when it comes to things, even like a Gold Glove. I mean, it's not just purely statistical, and players know that. And I think players get very frustrated by how analytics are taking over the game to a point where it's actually potentially hurting the quality of what we're doing out there. And it's certainly not giving, the players the credit they're due if they are great defensive players. I mean, you got half and half in this list of finalists, guys that are, definitely great defensive players and guys that have no business being on that list. So it's weird how beholden we are to these analytics now. And I understand that 2020 is a little bit different year, and they couldn't quite see everybody. Obviously, players couldn't really vote on it. Managers didn't see everybody. Media people didn't see everybody. So they're just going purely on the analytics. But it's becoming a little bit silly at this point. And I'm all for changes in baseball. I love some of the rule changes that happened this year. I like that baseball is trying to get a little bit more action-packed. But some of these things are just, there's just no reason. And I'll give you a perfect example. Having an opener in these playoffs, having an opener in the World Series, like the Dodgers have no reason to do that. Like they have guys like Gonsolin and May that can go the distance. They could have brought back Walker Buehler in game two on short rest, mind you, but he would have been able to give them four or five innings, great innings, I'm sure. But for some reason, they felt like they had to go with an opener theory because everyone else has done it, and I just think that's silly. So I there are some things that are just driving me crazy.
Brad, looks like roof is going to be closed tonight, perhaps some bad weather. Does that make a difference?
It does make a difference. And, I'll tell you this, when the roof is closed, it's a much bigger place to try and hit the ball out of the ballpark. I mean, it's, I think it's been documented. It's pretty certain when that roof is open, the ball jumps. When it's closed, it takes a mammoth shot to get it out, especially to center field. Look, without having, a ton of fans in there, I can't really say it brings in any kind of element of, how loud it is in there or anything like that. I remember playing in Houston when we closed the roof. It was so much louder than when the roof was open. But like in Houston, when the roof was open, the ball traveled a lot more. So, a closed roof means probably even more of a pitcher's duel. And, if I'm betting on an over-under on this game, I don't know what the run total or the implied run total would be. But I'd bet on the under with Walker Buehler and Charlie Morton on the bump and the ball not carrying tonight.
With longtime MLB closer Brad Lidge, the commissioner, Rob Manfred, was on with Dan Patrick earlier today, and he was asked about the shift. And he indicated during the interview that something might be coming in the future that would basically eradicate the shift. Like rules would be put in place where teams defensively cannot shift the way that they have
bunt,
been in recent years.
Just bunt down the third baseline.
Yeah, well, it just, like, to me, Nobody
knows how to bunt anymore.
That's the thing. No one's allowed to bunt anymore either because of sabermetrics. How dare you give away an out? But how would you feel about that, Brad? I mean, that's pushing it when you start legislating how teams can defend. That would be very extreme from my standpoint, but do you like the idea of trying to eliminate the shift?
Well, no, I don't. I think, if you're rewarding guys that just flat out aren't able to hit the ball the other way because it's not enough offensive action for you, I think that's just silly. I think look, hitters have to be dynamic enough to be able to say they're giving me the entire left side of the infield. If I could just get a ball there, I've got to hit. And so many guys can't do that. And so we're going to say, you know what, because you're not a complete hitter, we're going to reward you. Because you're not a complete hitter, we need to change our system to not allow shifts. I think that's ridiculous. I mean, obviously, maybe it sounds like I'm talking as a former pitcher here, but I really think we've given the hitters quite a lot these days. You know, the stadiums are smaller. It's obvious the ball is harder. It's jumping out of the ballparks at rates we've never seen recently. So I don't think we need to give even more offense. Like, at some point, we'll kind of just get to a point where the numbers, you know, baseball is famous for, you know, and media are famous for wanting to compare numbers from generation to generation. But I think we're already getting past the ability to do that. But it seems like we're headed even further in that direction where, you know, we want games to be, you know, 10-8, 11-5, you know, that type of game every time. I think you're really changing the nature of the game if we continue to make rules for offensive production. You might make some people more happy, but I think you're going to lose some fans too, and I don't think it's in the best interest of baseball to do that.
Enjoy the game tonight, the rest of the World Series. Always great catching up with you. Thank you for doing this, Brad.
All right, fellas, you bet. Take care.
Brad Lidge, longtime MLB closer, and against the shift. And so am I. I just think it's, you know, I don't love the shift, but it is a smart play. And to your point, Johnny, like, these guys need to work around it. Start hitting it the opposite
Slop
way,
and
guess what?
There.
The shift will stop.
Yeah.
Although, I was trying to think, like, you know, a comparable of a different sport. I mean, hockey put the trapezoid in to stop goalies from playing the puck. It's not like league don't change rules to legislate out things that they don't want to see.
Oh, sorry, Johnny. I was just going to say, wouldn't the shift be the equivalent of, like, the trap?
Mm-hmm.
You know, defensively, like in hockey, like, you know, making the trap, remember, and what was it when New Jersey did that in the early 2000s, like making that illegal. It's a play. You have to work around it, you know, and to break the trap, you used to come up one wall, go back to the D, change sides. Like, eventually you found ways around it. The shift, you're going to find ways around it too. Like, that's, you know, that's part of coaching. That's, everything is almost overcoached in pro sports today. What do you think? Like, there's not a lot of instinct. The guys go out there, and the coaches have prepared them for exactly what's going to happen. It's just if you can execute or not, especially something like baseball.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's it. Like, these, they're it's pretty simple. Like, wherever the defenders are, baseball's been around for a long time. Hit it where they're not.
Thank you.
Like, that's the way it
works.
Extra
defenders out there. If they want to all stand on first base together, then do something different.
Go for it. Then go hit one the opposite way.
Like,
run on the bases.
Agreed.
Yeah. Like, they have to play in the dirt. They can't back up to the turf. Like, you know, just figure out ways to work around it.
But it sounds like it's going to happen, right? Like, if Manfred is starting to tell people and go publicly on the record that we're looking into it. And it's been a big topic of discussion. Like, I get it. The shift.
It's kind of a bad look or something.
It is. You know? It's,
I mean,
goofy.
Like, visually, you're like, what's going on out
it's
there?
It's goofy. It's a goofy
and
look.
Why doesn't anyone hit the ball the other way? It kind of, like, shows the limitations of the players on some level.
And it's utilized generally against your best players, right? Like, it started, I feel like David Ortiz was the first victim of the shift. You know, there may have been other. Maybe they were doing it for Bonds. I don't remember where it started or when it started. But it's usually, you know, the big boys. Like, it's Bryce Harper. It's a guy that you're like, okay, I paid money to come see this guy hit. He's a pull hitter, but he also launches a lot of home runs. But if he's not going to get a home run, I wouldn't mind, you know, find a gap, give us some action on the bases.
Mm-hmm.
But they've found a way to take that out, and we'll see.